Pravane walked to the coffee shop in her cleanest shirt and dress slacks at rush hour, just to hold on to ritual and routine, now that she no longer had a job to structure her weekday. All it took was one ultra-popular friend retweeting her grouchy hot take on the manager with the simmering bigotries, not even naming names, to launch her from person with a job and a Twitter account to a central figure in the fight against office microaggressions. A clickbait mill retweeted the retweet, quoted and linked it at the top of their big feature about harassment, which had the effect of funneling all new harassment into her mentions, and soon enough, her personal email, her work email, and the work email of her human resources director, whose 15-minute review of the situation left her circling the cream and sugar island in the bee's buzz instead of having anywhere else to be on a Monday morning. She took the entire shaker of chocolate powder with her to a round table in the back of the cafe and tapped on the 300 unread messages alert on her phone. Strangers were indignant about her original gripe. They called her a liar, a slut, a terrorist, variations thereof, and threatened to perform all manner of violences on her. One by one, she screenshot, blocked, and reported the messages, as if this might do some minor good, like tossing back a single dried-out starfish into a polluted sea. Doing this without letting herself read them was a lesser of two anxiety attacks, but this morning, as abruptly as she'd become unemployed, the vitriol dwindled, and the pictures started. I saw your story and your avatar in the documents about you, and I recognized you from this photo that hangs in our first floor hallway. Read the first of this new breed. See attached. The attachment was a photo of that photo in its frame in the wallpapered hallway. A white family, mom, dad, goth-looking daughter, startled-looking son, smooshed together in front of the bird Weatherby statue in the university neighborhood where the bees buzz operated as well. All of their hands touched bird's brass foot, a tourist folk tradition for good luck, which persisted in spite of the Weatherby University hazing standard to piss on that same foot late at night, after their proud parents have stumbled drunk into rideshares and been whisked away like reverse Cinderellas to luxury hotels. In the background of this photo, Pravane saw herself sitting by the statue, shoving a bagel in her face, with wet hair, adding an unintended layer of sloppy reality to an otherwise idyllic family portrait. She looked up from her phone and her drink, and out the front window of the coffee shop, where she could glimpse the left elbow of Weatherby's brass akimbo stance behind a swarm of pedestrians. Pravane squirmed. How many photographs existed of her in the albums of strangers? This partial answer was tantalizing. More of them arrived throughout that morning, from different kinds of people in all corners of the city. There were families, couples, packs of friends, selfies, the Creative Commons licensed photo from the Wikipedia page about the Bird Weatherby statue. In every single one, she was present, walking, sitting, eating her lunch, picking her nose, rifling through her purse, finishing a beer, reading a book, sometimes just waiting for something, a train or last call or the laundromat dryer. In several, she looked right into the camera with the beginning of motion in her stance, her gaze already drifting unaware to the next blip of interaction with the lives of others. The torrent of outright threats dwindled, but neither were these new messages friendly, not in any conventional sense. Each one said some variation of the same simple description. Here you are, near me.